will get to you what he wants to get to you. Amen? How many of you are just going to purpose to be hungry? Just to be expecting, just to go, okay, God, come on, help. I need help. I want direction. I want to know. Show me things. Amen? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the word that you've put in my heart. I thank you for what you've given me to share. And I thank you for a sufficiency and an ability to do it. I'm not sufficient in and of myself to think that anything comes from me. But yet the scripture says, you have made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter that kills, but of the spirit that gives life. So thank you, Father, that I get to be a servant and a vessel of yours right now and to share what you've put in my heart. And I thank you for help. I thank you for a sufficiency. I thank you for grace. I thank you for words seasoned with salt, as it were, and I know how to respond to each one as I ought to. And thank you for the Holy Spirit leading in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we were worshiping God. I got two different scriptures that we're going to look at to start with this morning. And you can open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then you can open up to 1 Peter chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 2. And probably going to be more teaching this morning, so I'm just saying that as much for me as I am for you. I'm reminded of Terry. Was it your dad, Terry, that said this? If you can't preach it in 20 minutes, it ain't worth it. It was Teresa's dad who said that. If you can't preach it. Now, he wasn't a pastor, was he?
No.
Ah, that explains it. I thought it was Terry's dad who was a pastor for years and years. But and you know, I said to Terry when he shared that with me, I said, well, you know, I can preach almost anything in 20 minutes. I can't teach it in 20 minutes. And there's a big difference between preaching and teaching. You know, there's a huge difference between the two. And so I like preaching better. I like getting rowdy. That's just my personality and all that stuff. But teaching is very, very necessary. And Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing the sick. It was a very big part of his ministry, teaching. And so this morning we're going to be teaching. And I got something I want to get across, or God's got something he wants me to get across. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, really familiar verse of Scripture. And before we read it, no, we're ready. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What I want to be talking about today, this would be one way to say it. I want to talk about life. Life. Zoe. The God kind of life. Life as God has it. And as I was writing my notes and putting things together, life. Live life as God intends us to live it. But I had that word live in there, life. Live life as God intends us to live it. And as I kept pondering this and going over it, I changed it to this. Life, being life as God intends us to be. How many of you know when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became a new creation? Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. And now we're talking about our spirit, man, who lives forever. And when we get born again, we get to live forever in heaven once we leave this world. If a person doesn't get born again, they get to live forever in hell. I really recommend getting born again. I really recommend receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And like I've heard it said, for the believer, this is as bad as it'll ever be. For the believer, this is as bad as it's ever going to be right here on this earth. For the unsaved person, this is as good as it'll ever be. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I so exhort you to do so. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We become a brand new being. Now, we still have a mind that we have to renew, and we still have this flesh. But on the inside, we got born again. We were separated from God. We were spiritually dead and separated from God. But we became alive in Christ Jesus, a brand new being. Amen. I want you to catch that, a brand new being. And now that brand new being, see, I don't want you to try to live. I want you just to live. And then this thought, feed yourself heavenly food. Feed yourself heavenly food. Go with me, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Praise God. Thank you, Father. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay? I knelt down this morning during worship on purpose. I don't remember how many years ago now. It's 30-some years ago. But on a Sunday morning, watching Jimmy Swaggart walk and a half that way, I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I got born again. I became a brand new being. Diana and I had lived together for 2.5 years, and I've never really asked her this question. She had some stuff that she had to work through. Last night I was teasing her, telling her this morning's message was going to be all about just how she used to be. Because I always talk about how bad I have and been, and everybody thinks Diana's just always been an angel. They think she's just always been a saint. You guys know the worst thing about being married to her? I'll tell you the worst thing about being married to her. And some of you are going, there isn't anything bad about being married to her. Oh yeah, there is. Here's what it is. Every time she and I have a conflict, people automatically want to know what I did wrong. And there was this one time. But sometimes why all that stuff comes in, I will never know. But I became a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I was different. And I'm not quite sure what she thought. She had run into people before who conned her. And she thought, to a degree, I know this was part of it, that she thought I was just conning her, just so we could be back together. But it wasn't a con job. I was a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And through prayer, God was able to convince her of that. Because she had some stuff to fight through because of past experiences. And how, you know, one person in particular played the Christian card just to be able to be with her, but it wasn't real, it wasn't true. He was just trying to con her. So she thought that's what I was doing, but she found out it wasn't, it was real. I was brand new. And see, and then I needed to eat different food. As newborn babes desire the pure, one translation says, sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Did you know prior to being a Christian, I never ate God's word for food to grow thereby? Why? Because I was not a spiritual being in the sense that in relationship with the Father. So now, because I was a new creature in Christ Jesus, I needed a whole different food source. Amen? And how many of you know when you eat food, that food becomes a part of you? Amen? Hallelujah. I eat hamburger and that gets turned into me. Amen? I eat God's word and that is me. You feed on God's word and guess what? Your spirit man is being fed. That's you. That's life. Okay? Now, I wanted to get that in there. I wanted to get that on the inside, that thought there, that life, being the life God intended us to be, not trying to live the life that God intended us to be. Are you seeing the difference? Being. Did you know a peach tree doesn't try to be a peach tree? A peach tree is a peach tree. A Christian is a Christian. Amen. And as Christians, as believers, as children of God, it's vital that we feed ourselves that spiritual food, that we may grow thereby. And then there's something that just happens. That is how we're living, because that's who we are. You know, God's not trying to be love. He is love. He doesn't have to try to be love. He simply is love. So this thought, let's just be believers. Sometimes we try to be what we already are and we get all messed up in the middle. Amen? I am a believer. I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I'm not trying to get forgiven. I am forgiven. Amen? How about you? How many of you in here, you are forgiven. You are a child of God. You are loved by God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Okay, now, head with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Give you. I hear pages turning. I want you to get there since I'm teaching. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Amen. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Let me ask you a question. What are we supposed to give, and how are we supposed to give it to what? Did you follow that question? Let me break it up a little bit. What are we supposed to give heed to? We're supposed to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. How many of us, you know why, I think I know why, part of the reason why it tells us that. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You know why? Because sometimes when we've heard something, we have a tendency to lose it. Or have you ever said this? Well, I know that. I've heard that. Has any, and you can raise your hand, you won't offend me at all, because I know it didn't happen in this church, it happened at a different church somewhere, okay? How many of you have ever been here on a Sunday morning and or in a different church and the preacher started preaching and you had the thought run through your head, oh, this again? Oh, I've heard this before. You ever had that happen to you? Come on now. It's visitors who are raising their hands. I just did that. Thank you, Scott. I know it happens because you know what? That's part of human nature. If we've heard something, we have a tendency to tune out. But then the warning is you can drift away. Now, and then think about this. Think about it. Therefore, we must give casual listening. No. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to what? The things we've already heard. Amen? That's an exhortation for all of us. This is an exhortation for me, too. I've threatened to oftentimes bring a mirror and set it right in front of me in church, so I know I'm talking to me as well. How many of you know preachers can drift away? And every once in a while, I just need a good, you know, stirring up, a good nudge, a good push, a good whatever to kind of, come on, Joel, do not drift away. Don't just go ahead and get comfortable and relaxed and be fat and happy. Amen? But really make sure I'm tuning in. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Folks, I tell you what, when we get to talking about some of these basic things, we maybe just have to take, do you ever see in school, I was going to grab somebody and do it, but I'm not going to do it. Do you ever see in school, they can't do it anymore, but where the teacher might grab a student's ear? What are they doing? They're getting that child's attention. They're just, yeah, have you seen that before? Never experienced it though, right? I remember one time, I shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to, John Gosman. I was a junior in high school, and John Gosman was the teacher, and we were a bad, bad class. We were rough. We were really rough. We were tough. It was bad. And I'm sitting in my desk in the front row, and all of a sudden, I hear some commotion behind me. And I turn around, and I look, and John Gosman has got Ron Burdeen by the neck. And he's got his desk tipped up on two legs where he could just let it go and it would go down. And he's got a hold of him. And John Gosman is saying to Ron, I will never see that from you again, will I? And Ron's like, no, sir! And I'm sitting there going, I don't know what it was, and you'll never see it from me either. It had an impact on us. You know, and I think this scripture is trying to get, folks, give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. Something that God dropped in my heart one time. Years ago, I had a friend, and I would share scripture, and they would say, I know that. I know that. I know that. And for some reason down here, it just irritated me. It was like, you know, fingernails on a chalkboard. It was just irritating to my spirit. And I went and prayed about it. I said, God, why does that irritate me? Why is it every time I'll share a scripture with this particular friend, and the response is, I know that. I know that. And then the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, this is why it irritates you. People think just because they're a knower of the word, that they're automatically a doer of the word. And how many of you are aware of the fact that just because you know the word doesn't mean you're doing it? And we can trick ourselves. Well, I know that. I know that. I know that. Just because I know something doesn't mean I'm doing it. Amen? That's so true. And I want to make sure that I'm doing the word, doing what the word tells me to do. So now, if you would, you're going to be close. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, not too far away. Wow. How's the introduction been so far? One of the wrestling matches with the message for me today was this. The subject matter is way bigger than the time I have to share. But did I say 2 Corinthians? Well, guess what I would like you to do? Anybody know what I want you to do? Please go to 1 Corinthians. Folks who come here all the time, they know that that can happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll just start at verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation and another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved through fire. I got some questions here. Want to make us think a little bit. Did you notice the word, there's seed involved, there's building involved, and there's work involved? Let me ask you a question. What was the Apostle Paul's building material? What was Paul building with? You can't ever, no, you're not wrong, but you can't ever answer every question right away, because I want, what was God's build, what was Paul's building material? It's the Word of God. And what's your building material? What are you building with? Amen. Well, see, we know the answer is the Word of God. That's what I'm building with. But here's my question. Are we? And then how do we build? How do we build? What are our tools? And if we read down a little bit, could we say that this could be kind of serious? Could we say it's kind of serious? Let's see. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. So, just some silly questions. How many of you want to build something that isn't going to get burned up? What do you know that can make it through that fire? The Word. The Word. The Word's already pure. Amen? Building our lives on God's Word. Not building our lives on feelings. Not building our lives on what somebody tells us we should build it on, you know, but building our life on and out of the Word of God. Because that will make it through the fire. And I think it's interesting, didn't you notice in here where it talks about verse 12, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, what's going to burn up real quick? Wood, hay, straw, poof. Gold, silver, precious stone. And if you were to go back to Proverbs, you'd find some connections between gold, silver, precious stone being compared to the Word of God. Amen? I tell you what we want to be building our life on and out of is the Word of God. We want to be feeding ourselves God's Word on a regular basis. Now, so that's the building material. That's the building material. What are the building tools? And let me not go too fast. I have a lot of fun in here. I could go too fast. Look at the last part of verse 10 with me again. I'll pick it up in the middle. As a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, but another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. What does that indicate to us? But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Should each one of us in here be a builder? Each one of us in here should be a builder, shouldn't we? Building our own lives, helping to build other people's lives. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Man, I got to pay attention to how I build on it. And I said something earlier. God's Word is our building material. How many of you have heard of a product called particle board or chipboard? Amen? How many ever been around chipboard or particle board where it got put in a spot where it was exposed to moisture? What did it do? It swelled up, started crumbling. Come apart. You know what some Christians do? They build their life with particle board. particle word. What do I mean by particle word? It can be traditions of men that we think are the word of God, but they're not. They're a tradition of man. And they're not even biblically sound. But building out of that, building with the traditions of men. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you make the word of God of no effect by your traditions. You know, you can see Christians who have particle word. They build with some word, some traditions, some what mom said, some what dad said, some what the grades said. They build their life out of all of those things. And there's only one of all of those things that's going to stand. And that's the Word of God. Amen. You know, just to, for those of you that know me, you're going to hear it again. And it's just, it's my testimony. It's the story I have. I don't have a story of being healed or something like that, because thank God I've just been healthy. But I grew up in an environment where beat down, put down. You know, constantly. Flunked the second grade, for those of you that are visiting. Flunked the second grade. Had to take it twice. Never graduated high school. Got kicked out. My dad was not impressed with me. My dad is super brilliant. He's just smart man, amazing guy. So he wasn't real impressed with me. And he had all kinds of names he called me. He just put me down. And you know what? For a long time in my life, that was my building material. See what I'm saying? I was building my life based out of what my dad said. And you know what? My dad was wrong. He was wrong. There's probably a lot of you in here, you've got a dad or a mom, and stuff they said to you over and over and over again, it was wrong. But yet it's been allowed to remain a part of the building material in your life. You know what? You can get rid of that without disrespecting your parent. I love my dad. I get emotional when I talk about my dad. I have great respect for my dad. But my dad was also wrong. There were some things my dad did where he is an idiot. True. I've tried to tell my brothers and sisters, take him off the pedestal you got him on. He doesn't belong there. He messed up in a lot of ways. That doesn't take away from all the awesome things he did either. Amen? Hallelujah. But what I'm talking about, particle word. Part word, part tradition of men, part what parents said, part what your grades were. You know what? I'm actually very smart. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. I am actually very smart. I was waiting for an amen. I'm getting a lot of laughs right now, honey, and I'm not trying to be funny, but an amen from over there would have been. But even though my grade said one thing, my Heavenly Father says something else. See, now I'm just using me because I know me. What about you? What about you? What are you building with? What's the building material in your life right now? What is it? Is it traditions? Traditions of men, parents, school, what? You know what? If you find yourself building with particle word, I highly recommend where you got something other than the Word of God, remove it. Amen. And replace it with God's Word. Yes. Replace it with truth. Replace it with the material that can withstand that fire. Amen. It'll make it through that fire. Do you know the scripture actually tells us that we can have confidence on the day of judgment? It tells us we can have confidence on the day of judgment. Yet I think most Christians are dreading the day of judgment. That's because they're not building with the right material. Amen? So, hallelujah. You guys are blessing me. Thank you. Building with the Word of God. I want to go here, and I'm going to stop here today. But what are our it's funny, I haven't got to my point yet. But I knew that's the way this was going to be. And I still know what I've been sharing up to now is very good and beneficial. Very good. Very beneficial. Go with me to Mark chapter 5. And I'm going to do this in a real brief amount of time. But our building material is the Word of God. Is God's Word. That's our building material. Okay? And what are our tools? I just want to go over this, and then we're going to stop here today. What are our tools? And I like this woman's testimony here. I like what happened in her life. I liked how she built. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had. She was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But the disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened in her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." I think this lady has an amazing testimony. She has something absolutely incredible that had happened to her. Just real quickly, put yourself in her shoes. You've got a physical ailment, and for 12 years you've sought a cure. And you're no better. You're actually worse. And then you've spent all you've had, all your finances, trying to get better. And this is what you've been in for 12 years. But then she heard, and there's the first tool. Ears to hear. And I do it wrong almost every time. I hold my physical ear. How many of you know it'd be like this? Ears to hear. Ears to hear. It's really both, but we can't leave this one out. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. How many of you know we need to keep hearing? We need to keep hearing, and we need to keep hearing. Even if it's hearing the same stuff, we need to keep hearing. Because you know what? God's, wow. Hearing is how God's Word gets into us. Hearing is how God's Word is going to get into us. Hearing. How vital is hearing? It's so important. Hearing is how God's Word gets into us. She had ears to hear. That's a tool. I got ears to hear. When she heard about Jesus. Man, make sure what you're hearing is the truth. Make sure what you're hearing is the truth. I like a verse of scripture over in Acts that says, "These were no more fair-minded," or "these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they studied the scripture daily to find out if these things were so." And I'm going to take the opportunity to do it here again. You take what I share and go back to the Word and study the Scripture daily to find out if what I'm saying is right. Amen? Do not just take my word for it. How many of you know I can be wrong? I appreciate the look of shock and disbelief on all of your faces right now. Thank you so much. I know you can't, it's just hard for you to believe that that could happen, but there was this one time. So. I'm kidding. But to go back, be ready to receive a noble-minded person. These were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word readily. They had ears to hear. They received the word readily, but then they studied the scripture daily to find out if it was so. Man, come into church ready to hear. Open up your Bible in the morning, ready to hear. Listen to a teaching online, ready to hear. Ears to hear. This woman had ears to hear. Ears to hear. When she heard about Jesus, she heard the truth about Jesus. Okay? Verse 28. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes. I like the Amplified here. It says this. For she kept saying. You want to know what another tool is? A mouth to speak God's word. A mouth to speak God's word. And that's really kind of what I wanted to be getting at today. Say the word. Say the word. And what I'm not talking about, get a little confession thing going so to acquire some possession. That's not what I'm talking about. Although that's fine, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about this is, I'm talking about speaking the word, speaking the truth of who you are, hearing the truth of who you are, so it gets on the inside of you, and then there is a point in time in life that is just what is flowing out of you. So it really, really grows. This message really grows. She had ears to hear, a mouth to speak. Now, you could be sitting there going, Pastor, I've heard this before. You've opened to this verse of Scripture, and you've taught me for this. I know this. Nudge yourself and go, I'm going to keep listening too. Ears to hear, a mouth to speak. The third one, then she came behind him in the crowd. How many of you know that was a big deal? That was a big deal. She had a body to do. In other words, she put action to what she had heard and what she was speaking. She put action to it. She put her body in motion. She stepped out and she touched the hem of his garment. You know what, guys? There are times when we have a body to do. We get to do stuff. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, I get to do stuff. Amen. We get to do stuff. Ears to hear, mouth to speak, a body to do, and here's the last one, a heart to believe. A heart to believe. A heart to believe. And this is the crazy thing. That hearing and that speaking, they're going to radically impact that heart. And that heart's getting fed what? Desire the sincere milk of the word. That heart is getting fed the word of God, the truth of God's word. It's going on the inside. It's getting into the heart. And guess what's going to happen? We're going to live the life God intended us to live. We're not going to try to live the life. I'm not trying to live the life. I'm living the life. Why? Because I'm feeding myself the life. Jesus said, the words that I say to you, they are spirit and they are life, Zoe. Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, the word of God, the word that Jesus said, life, Zoe, life as God has it, the God kind of life. That's what we feed ourselves. We hear his word, we read his word, we speak his word. Are you saying over yourself what God says over you? Are you saying over yourself and about yourself what God says about you? Man, if you're not, I exhort you to do it. And that's, you know, these lists that I get from people, they're going to play a part in it. And we're going to share those with people. But it's just so good. I know I like this verse of Scripture. I like to say it over me. It is thou, O Lord, who is at work in me, both to will and to do for your good pleasure. God, you're at work in me. What if we, let's just say that right now. God, you're at work in me. 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 What if you just kept saying that and saying that? You know what you're saying? You're saying truth. God, you're at work in me, both to will and to do for your good pleasure. God, you're at work in me, both to will and to do for your good pleasure. Here's another one I like. God, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know what? One of the greatest defenses to come against sin is not, I'm going to try to stop sinning, but God, I've hidden your word in my heart. God, I've hidden your word in my heart. God, I've hidden your word in my heart. Why? Well, the outcome is that I might not sin against thee. How many of you know the devil tempts us all? But we hide God's word in our heart. We hide God's word on our heart. We feed ourselves that. We feed ourselves that. Temptation shows up and we go, oh, what a waste of time. No, thank you. The more we hide God's word in our heart. And then we find ourselves being the life that he intends us to live. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there. Praise God. Glory. Amen. Thank you. Turn and look at somebody, and just, if it's your spouse, you might just give them a little kiss on the cheek. Amen. Jennifer's teasing Ron pretty good. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up.